Hi, everybody. I'm Brittany Lewis with Forbes Breaking News. Joining me now is radio host and former presidential contender Larry Elder. Larry, thanks so much for joining me.
As always, my pleasure.
You're the co-chair of the new national PAC, Make America Just Again. Can you talk to us about what's the goal here?
Well, makeajustagain.org is designed to expose these soft-on-crime George Soros-backed DAs and these brain-dead soft-on-crime policies that masquerade as criminal justice reform. They're allowing bad guys to roam on the streets and harm innocent individuals. We've got people like George Gascon here in LA County. You've got people like Alvin Bragg in Manhattan. Somebody named Larry Krasner in Philadelphia, all of whom got in because of George Soros-backed money or the kind of money that's sympathetic to George Soros' ideas, which are basically that the criminal justice system is inherently racist. Cops are targeting black people just because they're black. And by the way, bad guys really are victims of society as opposed to people who ought to be held up to for the crime they commit. Also talking about some of these soft on crime policies like cashless bail, Proposition 47 and 57 in California that lowered all sorts of categories of crime from violent offenses to nonviolent offenses. I kid you not, after Proposition 57, rape of an intoxicated victim is now considered to be a nonviolent offense. Serial arson, nonviolent offense. Assault of a police officer, nonviolent offense. And what it's done is allowed bad guys to be on the streets longer, bad guys not to suffer the consequences of what they've done. And the people that are disproportionately hurt by this are the very black and brown people living in the inner city that people on the left purport to care about.
Larry, I'm sure you've seen reports of this, but I had a conversation a few weeks ago about the videos going viral on TikTok of women in New York getting punched by random men. And I was talking to a public defender in Manhattan, and she said that bail reform actually makes the city more safe. What's your response to that?
Bail reform makes the city more safe. Allowing bad guys to be on the streets who wouldn't be on the streets so they can reoffend makes things more safe. I don't get it. That's the kind of thinking behind these soft on crime George Soros backed DAs. They really believe that if you don't hold people accountable, somehow crime goes down. You know, criminals may be criminals, but they're not stupid. If you make it more likely that somebody is not going to be arrested, more likely somebody's not going to be convicted, more likely someone's not going to be incarcerated, crime will go up. They may be bad guys, but they're not stupid. It's real simple.
According to statistics, crime and violent crime has gone down year over year, according to the FBI. Do you think that crime in America, that it's rising, that it's increasing, is a perception problem opposed to reality?
I do not. Take Philadelphia. In the last few years, the homicide rate is probably about 50% what it was before. And I got to tell you, a lot of people are simply not calling in crimes when they're committed because they don't believe the police are going to help them. They believe the bad guys are not going to be held accountable. So crime is underreported. There's no question in the last few years, crime in places like New York, Chicago, LA, are in fact up. What they do is they take 1 year where it's gone down from the year before and they tell you that the crime has gone down. Look at a year like 2018 or 2019 and look at where crime is now in many of these cities and you will find that they are in fact up.
The homicide rate in the United States increased by 30% in 2020. Was there a crime problem then when Donald Trump was president?
Well, it increased for all sorts of reasons, including COVID. But yeah, there was a crime problem when Donald Trump was president. I'll tell you what drives much of the crime in this country, Brittany. It is what I call the epidemic of fatherlessness. 70% of black kids enter the world without a father in the home, married to the mother. Nearly 50% of Hispanic kids do. About 25% of white kids do, which was the same percentage as was the case with blacks back in 1965. What happened in 65 is we launched a so-called war on poverty, Lyndon Johnson did. And since then, we've incentivized women to marry the government and incentivized men to abandon their financial and moral responsibility. And the stats are clear. Even Barack Obama once quoted them. If you're raised without a father in the home, you're 5 times more likely to be poor and commit crime, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, and 20 times more likely to end up in jail. The question is, what are we going to do about it? But these are what are some of the things that are driving the crime. Plus, the police are pulling back. It's called the Ferguson effect or the George Floyd effect, following the so-called protests of May of 2020 that lasted for about 4 or 5 months. 25 people were killed, about 2,000 police officers were injured, about $2 billion in property damage, and as a result, cops are pulling back. And as a result, even though you're finding categories of crime going up, what's going down are arrests. Part of it is because cops are not engaging in proactive policing, and part of it is that New York, LA, Chicago, they are understaffed, undermanned. Officers are retiring early, are transferring, and it's very difficult to recruit people to a department when it's been maligned as systemically racist. So all these things kind of go together.
Larry, is this money going once you raise it for the PAC?
Well, it's going to, as I said, to create awareness for articles that are going to be put in all sorts of publications, and eventually to support candidates that are opposing some of these soft on crime, George Soros type back DAs.
And how much money have you raised so far?
I haven't even looked. We just now started it probably about maybe a week, 10 days ago. So I really haven't started. We just now started doing interviews. This is a very important interview that we're doing to generate revenue. And again, it's called Make America Just Again.
It's very clear based on this conversation, based on past comments, you don't believe bail reform is the answer here. What is?
The answer is to hold people accountable for the crime that they commit. As I said earlier, if a bad guy realizes that he's less likely to be arrested, less likely to be convicted, less likely to be incarcerated, crime will go up. Again, they may be criminals, but they're not stupid. Hold people accountable for what they do. I mean, we got people, you mentioned the women in New York being mugged, being struck down. Often these are people who have had series of crimes, series of things that they've done. They haven't been held accountable. Just last year, my 92-year-old aunt in Cleveland, Aunt Maggie, is going to her church that she's attended for 60 years, carrying her purse and her Bible. Guy pulls out a gun, knocks her to the ground, takes her purse, takes her Bible. Fortunately, it was captured on the video camera by the church. They arrested the guy. He'd been in prison two times before, one time for 8 years, one time for 5 years. And within about 4 weeks or so of mugging my aunt, he had done the same thing to two other women, same MO, woman getting out of her car, walking to church, and he mugged her. He never should have been out on the streets.
Before we continue the conversation, is your aunt okay?
She is okay. She now walks with a cane. She can no longer drive by herself. She was driving by herself. And also she spent a great deal of money on security on her home because he took her purse before they caught him. She had no idea whether or not he was gonna use the information in the purse to come to her house and break in and do whatever. So for all these reasons, she's very, very rattled right now, and she no longer has the same kind of sense of serenity that she did before.
As you know, former President Donald Trump is facing legal hurdles in New York City. He's been in a Manhattan courtroom over the past week. Would any of the money you raised for the PAC go to him and his legal troubles?
It would go more broadly to the whole notion of a two-tiered system of justice, which is what I believe has happened with Donald Trump. And in general, with conservatives. Hunter Biden is almost got a slap on the wrist, despite the gun charges and the income tax evasion charges. I think there's a two-tier system of justice, so we're gonna be calling attention to that. I don't believe Donald Trump should be facing any charges whatsoever. All he did was to describe the payments as legal expenses. Hillary and the DNC paid for the so-called Steele dossier, attributed it to legal expenses. The FEC gave them a fine. The DOJ did not criminally prosecute them. Donald Trump didn't even get a Federal Election Commission fine for the alleged payments to his alleged mistress, and he certainly wasn't prosecuted criminally. And Alvin Bragg campaigned to get Donald Trump. I believe that's a violation of your canons of ethics as a prosecutor to campaign to get somebody. And he's another example of what I consider to be the two-tiered system of justice. When he first came into the office, by the way, he declined to pursue the charges against Donald Trump. One of his assistants resigned, wrote a book calling out Alvin Bragg for shirking his responsibility, and then all of a sudden Alvin Bragg then decided to go after Donald Trump when he decided not to do it after he got into office. It's extremely, extremely unfair, and it's preventing him, of course, from being on the campaign trail.
You said you don't believe he should have been charged whatsoever. As you know, since he announced he was running for president, he's been charged 91 times with 4 indictments. Do you think he's completely innocent here with all of those charges, or do you think he's being unfairly targeted?
I think he's being unfairly targeted with all of them. Let's take the Florida one. As you know, Joe Biden had documents in more places than Donald Trump did, including, and this is very important, documents that he apparently got when he was in the Senate from a SCIF, a secured unit where you're not supposed to take anything in or take anything out. And Joe Biden had documents in his possession from when he was a senator. Clearly a violation of the Espionage Act. What did the special counsel say? Well, he's an elderly man with a poor memory, so nothing happened to him. Regarding the Georgia thing, Donald Trump is being accused of somehow trying to engineer or undo a just election. What he did was make a phone call to the Georgia Secretary of State and said, "Find me, I think it was 10,700 votes." He didn't say steal them. He said, "Make sure you've counted all the votes." That's what that term meant. And now Donald Trump is facing criminal charges for that. Absolutely, completely, totally outrageous. And regarding January 6th, the man has not been charged with insurrection, nor, by the way, have any of the other hundreds of people that participated in that riot been charged with insurrection, let alone been convicted of it. Yet Donald Trump somehow is facing charges of trying to overthrow an election because of what happened on January 6th. The man gave a speech and he said, "I want you to, quote, peacefully and patriotically go and make your voices heard." And whenever I read newspapers about this or watch CNN or MSNBC, they omit the peaceful and patriotic part and they talk about him saying, "Go and fight like hell," which is just standard political rhetoric. So I think that one is unfair as well. I think all of them are unfair and would not be brought if Donald Trump were not the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party for 2024.
New York is a blue state, Georgia less so. So do you think this is just a progressive state problem, because we are seeing him charged in Georgia?
Well, I think it's, again, a two-tier system of justice problem. Fannie Lewis, as was the case with Letitia James, the AG of New York, as was the case with Alvin Bragg, the DA of Manhattan, all ran promising to get Donald Trump. Again, I don't think that's what prosecutors are supposed to do. Prosecutors are supposed to do justice. They're not supposed to focus their time and attention trying to get people. It's just completely improper. And it seems to me the ABA, the American Bar Association, ought to be saying something about their, in my opinion, violation of their canons of ethics.
I am curious, Donald Trump was slapped with a gag order in his New York trial. What do you think of that?
Unfair. Michael Cohen, who apparently is going to testify, is on CNN. Been on CNN a couple times since the trial has started, talking about what a bad guy Donald Trump is, but Donald Trump can't respond. I think it's unfair. And I think as you and I, around this time, a judge right now is looking at whether or not the gag order is improper, and I have a good feeling it's going to be lifted. I think it's unfair. I think it's a violation of his First Amendment. Even the ACLU said that it was unfair and a violation of his First Amendment rights.
Do you think he's doing any favors with his conduct, though? He was accused of violating it, I believe, over 10 times now. Would you wish that he maybe stopped posting on Truth Social, or do you think that matters?
You're not going to take the Trump out of Trump. That's who and what he is. I still believe it is unfair. There are lots of things that Donald Trump has said over the last several years that I, Larry Elder, would not have said. On the other hand, if Donald Trump were not bold and brash the way he is, he would not be president. Most of us thought he would never have a chance of winning, at least at first. And apparently his close friends advised him not to even run when he decided to run. So this is a guy who has a healthy disrespect for so-called experts. And that's one of the reasons he is who he is. I don't think you can take the Trump out of Trump. I will say one thing. I've heard Donald Trump say that he intends to testify on his own behalf. I think that would be ill-advised. I'm a trial lawyer when I practice law. And once you sit there, you open yourself up for all sorts of lines of cross-examination. So I think he'd be well-advised, and I'm sure his lawyers are advising him not to take the stand, to let Alvin Bragg make his case. And then hopefully at least one or more juror will say, you've not committed any kind of crime. And if he gets convicted, I believe it'll be overturned on appeal.
The Make America Just Again PAC is obviously a play on words of Donald Trump's slogan, Make America Great Again. Does he know about your PAC? And if so, has he commented?
No, not to my knowledge. I met with him about 6 weeks ago in Mar-a-Lago. We had a long discussion, but I didn't bring up the pack at the time, so I'm not even sure he knows about it. He kind of has his hands full, Brittany.
I can imagine, yet he could be still in court, depending on, I haven't been able to check yet since our conversation started, but what is next for the PAC?
Well, next for the fact, as I said, is to raise money to raise awareness of what's going on with all these soft on crime DAs, and to recommend, for example, that states do what Georgia did recently. Georgia legislatures set up a commission to investigate DAs that are not doing their jobs. The governor signed it, and the Democrats, of course, filed a lawsuit to hold it up. But I'm recommending that every state set up a commission of retired judges, retired DAs, so they can hear complaints from citizens who've been injured or who have loved ones who've been injured by people who are on the streets who otherwise should not be on the streets. And it can make recommendations for the removal of these DAs who are not doing their jobs.
Larry Elder, per usual, thank you so much for joining me. I look forward to our next conversation.
My pleasure, Brittany, anytime.